Welcome to Let's Talk New Mexico. I'm Sarah Gustavus. If you work right now, do you head to an office every morning? Or do you walk from your bedroom to the living room? Or maybe drive to a co-working space? Broadband internet and changes in some industries have created new opportunities for people to work remotely and stay right here in New Mexico. Are you a remote worker? We'd love to hear about your experience today. How do you manage your time and communication with your team? How do you build relationships online or on the phone with clients or colleagues in different states or even different countries? Join us by calling 277-5866 or email letstalk@kunm.org. I'm joined in studio today by Mark Lottman, founding director of the Community Economics Lab. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you.
Also, Shelley Fawcett, director of SoloWorks Cibola. Hi, Shelley.
Hi.
Mark, I want to start with you. You've worked in economic development for many years. How do you define remote work?
Well, it's a unique modality of work where people, instead of getting up and driving to a centralized workplace like a factory or an office building to do your work, you either work from home or a mobile platform.
Yeah. And so is it growing in New Mexico? Do we have more remote workers than we had 5 or 10 years ago?
Well, the data is showing that it's one of the fastest growing areas of work. It's a little tricky when you start trying to get data because we don't really measure things the way that match up with what we're talking about. But I mean, if you just think about it and you look around your neighborhood, you'll realize there are a lot of people working now from home or basically co-working spaces or restaurants even.
Shelley, out in Cibola County, you're working with people who want to be remote workers. What's drawing them to those opportunities?
Well, a lot of what draws them is that there is a dearth of work opportunity in rural areas. And so, you know, and then obviously the ability to kind of fit your work schedule around your life as opposed to fitting your life around your work schedule. That's all obviously a draw. You know, you have all of the typical work from home attraction factors, but I think more than anything is by going through the program that we have and by looking outside of the community for their jobs, they have different opportunities that they wouldn't have locally, and they also have the opportunity to help their community by growing its economic base.
And so some of the people that you've worked with, say, in the past year, helping place them into jobs, what kind of jobs are they doing?
So obviously customer service is a big one, but we also have people placed in transcription. I've got somebody who is launching their virtual assistant business. Anything with computers, you know, you've got technical support in IT, and then you have more of the programming, software development, web development. You've got social media. You've got, you know, translation and transcription, writing, editing, any kind of art or creation that you can sell out of state, e-commerce. And then the healthcare industry is a big one. We just had a lot of people. We just started a program for medical billing and coding with Career Step, actually.
And that's something people can do at home?
Yes.
Do they need a secure internet connection? Is there some extra security around people's medical information?
Yeah. But the same goes with, like, the customer service. Often you'll have a secure desktop or something like that that you can load onto a flash drive, and it's all handled for you.
Mark, you know, you look at kind of the big picture on jobs around the state. Do we need more remote workers? Is that something that, for the puzzle that fits together of economic development, do we need people doing this kind of stuff?
Yeah, it turns out we really do. So when the Legislative Jobs Council met for between 2013 and 2017, they met 60 meetings and trying to get at a number, how many economic base jobs where the jobs that are producing goods and services are being paid for by folks from out of state. So it brings new money and makes the economy bigger. So we need those jobs to backfill the ones we're losing. So you're constantly losing these economic base jobs, which constitute your economy. And then you've got people that need to be unemployed a lot of times. So you've got to make up those jobs. And then any jobs you're going to need for growth. So you add the attrition, the unemployment gap, and the and the ones you need for growth, and you get a number of jobs that you need. The state number turned out for the next 10 years, mostly for attrition, we'd need 150,000 economic-based jobs, create new ones. And so when you look at the program in grants was built around the number that they came up with, which was, I think, was around 1,800. They were going to need 1,800 new economic-based jobs in grants to make up for the ones they lost, get the full employment, and any growth, which I think they held at nominal. Turns out, it looks like when they turned around and estimated how many jobs it could get from these various program theaters like recruiting companies and tourism and other things, that this solo work category could produce almost a quarter of them. And they're particularly good for rural areas because a lot of times the rural areas don't have enough jobs in place 20 minutes away from the person that's looking. And these jobs are all out of state and are done remotely from your home if you want.
Yeah. I want to hear from people this hour who are living out in smaller communities in New Mexico outside of Albuquerque and Santa Fe and doing remote work or trying to get into remote work. I want to hear your experience. The number to call 277-5866, or you can email today, letstalk@kunm.org. I'm going to bring in some folks who are doing remote work now. We have Monica Cordova on the line. She's deputy director at the Funders Collaborative on Youth Organizing. Welcome, Monica.
Hi. Hello. Hi, Sarah.
You've worked remotely for 4 years. What's been different for you in kind of doing that work remotely versus when you worked in an office?
Well, you know, I'm a fairly collaborative person and really enjoy brainstorming with my colleagues. And so it was a really huge shift to go from a really bustling office space where I had that one-on-one or group connection to folks to sitting in front of my computer and many times, you know, for days working alone. It was a really big adjustment for me.
So how do you build relationships with people around the country?
Well, you know, I think that in this day and age, there's so many new tools, and it's really getting adjusted to how to create meaningful connection through using those tools. We use, in our office, we use Zoom, which is an online meeting space, and I've almost gotten more comfortable with talking to people through video than on conference calls or over the phone. It's a really easy way to, you know, just have quick meetings even and see somebody's face and understand their facial reaction, their physical communication when you're talking to them. The other thing that we use a lot is, I know a lot of folks do, even folks who aren't remote, we use Slack a lot. And we don't just use it for, it's an online app that you can, you know, create various channels to communicate through about projects, but we also use it to create social connections. So we have a Slack on recipes or a Slack on parenting. And so we also try to find ways to connect socially through some of our online tools.
Yeah. It sounds like that's really important, those kind of chats that you would have if someone was sitting next to you to make a space for that on Slack. How has working remotely helped you grow your own career while staying here in New Mexico?
In this day and age, it's so many organizations, because it's more cost effective, are moving towards working remotely. And so now it's the access to colleagues and partners and other organizations across the country. It's a lot easier to connect. You know, before it was, let's email and set up a meeting and, you know, or a call. And now we're able to connect to folks in a deeper way and build relationships with partners across the country. It's more accessible, I think, right now. And so that's helped me build a really strong network of partners all over the country that I can turn to for resources and share thoughts and ideas with.
That's really cool. Monica, thank you so much for calling in today and sharing your experience working remotely.
Oh, no, thank you.
All right. A couple things that she mentioned, Mark, that really stood out to me, kind of those you know, being able to see people's faces, which I think is really important, and also kind of the social chat that you can use those tools for relationships. Do you see other people doing this as well?
Yeah, it turns out to be one of the biggest barriers to essentially developing a career around a job where you work alone is the social isolation. And I think anything you can do to make it feel like you're actually in the presence of the person you're talking to really helps, because you do miss a lot of nonverbal cues. Your brain picks up a lot of visual cues about what the other person's feeling and thinking, and you can enrich the career experience and the work by, you know, Zoom's pretty good. We use it in our business all the time.
Yeah, and that's fairly new. I mean, these tools weren't available 5 years ago, 10 years ago. That was just work on the phone,
yeah.
You know, an email. Yeah. All right. What is your experience working remotely? Do you have certain tools that make your work better, that help you build relationships with people? The number to call today, 277-5866. Again, that's 277-5866. We're going to go now to Dax in Albuquerque. Dax, I understand you work from home.
Yep, that's correct. I've worked pretty much my entire career in insurance. I've worked from home, either for the company I used to work for when I started my own business 7 years ago, and, you know, just continue to do that. And it works really, really well for me. I work with businesses. So in terms of meeting with clients, I'm always meeting with them at their business. So the idea of having an office really comes down to is if it will add value to us and ultimately bring on more business. And the answer to that question is generally no.
So, Dax, are you saying that it saves you money? You're able to redirect your funds in other ways without having that office space?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, what I think it comes down to for us is focusing on processes, taking really good care of our clients in terms of building relationships. You know, instead of having to commute to an office, I just, you know, commute to drive to their business and meet with them. So I think, you know, I feel like it helps kind of deepen that relationship. And then the thing I'm always really amazed by when I interview people that work with, you know, some of our competitors is, and it's often females, to be quite honest, but they often talk about the personality conflicts they have within their office and, you know, situations that they want to get out of. And, you know, by working from home and you remove those kind of social dynamics that can create issues for employees.
That's an interesting point. Dax, thanks so much for calling in today and sharing your experience.
Sure, absolutely.
So, Mark, sounds like Dax is working remotely, not necessarily with people out of state, but working from home and having those local clients as well. Where do we see that in kind of the mix of these kinds of jobs?
Yeah, except for the distinction that it's not economic based and it's not growing the economy. So if you added 10 more people like Dax to the insurance market, you just chop the insurance market into smaller pieces. So the only way you really grow the economy is to add people that are growing, that are billing people out of state, that you're working with out of state. But it is evidence, I think, some supporting evidence that this modality of working by yourself is getting way easier to do and more prevalent and should be encouraged. I mean, it reduces the load on your transportation system. You don't have as many buildings to build and maintain and finance and heat and cool. It's really good for – and people are home around their families, and it's good in almost every way except the socialization issue.
Yeah, that's definitely – we'll get to that.
And he pointed out there might be some advantages there.
Right. But, you know, if he's able to grow his business by not spending that money on an office space, I mean, there's some benefit to that too. Like he's got a growing business because of that. Yeah.
Absolutely.
We want to hear from remote workers today. How does doing your work remotely with clients or companies outside of New Mexico allow you to have the life you want here? Was remote work your only opportunity to grow your career and stay in New Mexico? The number to call, 277-5866. You can also email letstalk@kunm.org. We're going to go to a quick break, and we'll be right back.
The law firm of Rothstein Donatelli is committed to supporting KUNM. Since 1976, the firm has litigated Native American law, criminal defense, wrongful death, and civil rights in New Mexico and nationwide. info@rothsteinlaw.com.
Support comes from the Vortex Theater, presenting Oleana by David Mamet, directed by Marty Epstein, through October 9th. When his student, Carol, accuses him of improper behavior, John finds himself fighting for his tenure and his life. VortexABQ.org.
It's one of the first exercises you learn to play on an instrument, one of the basic ways to build technique, and it's awfully tempting to skip while practicing. Alexander Sitkovetsky shares his most valuable practice tip on the next Performance Today from APM.
Weekday mornings at 9 on KUNM.
This is Let's Talk New Mexico. I'm Sarah Gustavus. With me in studio today is Mark Lottman, along with Shelley Fawcett. And we're talking about remote work. We want to hear from you today. The number to call, 277-5866. We have an email comment from Erin. She says she thinks having more people work from home would bring a lot of benefits, including reduced traffic congestion and stress, and more personal time for workers who give up less of their time for commutes. She also says she thinks she'd get more work done at home without distractions, eat better at home, and maybe be able to go to the gym more. I can relate to that as well. Sometimes I wonder the same for myself. I'd like to bring in now Gordon Brunitsky. Gordon is an anthropologist. Since 1994, he's had a business where he works with indigenous people around the world in performing arts and festival development. He's worked on every continent except Antarctica. Welcome, Gordon.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So, Gordon, in this work that you do, how do you connect with artists abroad?
Well, I've been doing this for 24 years, and now I have essentially an email address list of about 7,000 people. So when I meet an artist, I either know who they are and contact them directly, or if it's some category that I don't know, I email people who will know.
Have you built a lot of those relationships with, say, in-person meetings or previous events or festivals that you've been to?
Not very many of them. The way that it usually works is we meet by initial email contact, maybe a Skype phone call, and we begin working together on a project because I have a considerable experience in this. And then we keep working, and then they will usually bring me overseas, or they'll tour the group that I'm working with, and I'll meet them, and I'll meet other people, and it continues to grow all the time.
And so what do you bring back here to New Mexico from this work with people abroad?
I'm tempted to say money, but which is true. I bring a lot of, I don't work very much in New Mexico, but I've learned that you don't have to work where you live and you don't have to live where you work either. I keep trying to work in New Mexico, but most of my work has been overseas.
What are some of the challenges that you face? Is technology or internet access sometimes a challenge in getting on those video calls or those Skype calls with people?
I've never found it a problem. Often the only problem is the time difference. But the way that it works a lot is that in the evening here, it's daytime in the Pacific and Asia. Nighttime early, it's usually daytime in Europe. And so it's fairly easy then to work out a time that'll work for me, and it will be business day either in Asia, the Pacific, or Europe.
So do you work any time of day?
Yes.
Yeah. I would imagine there's some issues of balance there, of kind of work-life balance for you.
Well, it works out. I have a routine. I go to the gym 5 mornings a week, and I have a very nice social network here in Albuquerque of friends. We're all going to have dinner tomorrow night, in fact. So I have a social network. I have a business network. I have a good reputation. I produced an indigenous theater festival in London. I have a traditional Navajo dance group that's been overseas 12 times. Right now, I'm laying the groundwork for an international native languages film festival, which will probably either be in Zimbabwe or Mexico. Could be in both, which would be really nice. I was in Zimbabwe last year, and I was in Russia twice last year. And that sort of thing.
Yeah. Gordon, you are a busy man. I really appreciate you calling in today and sharing some of your experience with the unique work that you do, and that's remote with people all across the world. Thank you so much. All right, we have a Twitter comment from John. He says, working from home opens doors for single parents and that often employers refuse to make accommodations. Is that something you want to talk about today? Have you tried to do some work from home, either part of your work or all of your work, and found that it's been challenging to get your employer or potential employers to work with you on that? The number to call, 277-5866. Again, that's 277-5866. David from Santa Fe called in. David, what do you want to add to our conversation?
Yeah, hi. I've been living in New Mexico for about 9 years. I had come from New York, and I started a software company here, and I designed it as a distributed company, being able to use all these different technologies and tools to connect. And I found that it worked quite well. New Mexico has limited labor pool and also limited economic opportunity. So I think it was just natural to be able to create a distributed company. And we did that pretty successfully. After I sold that company about a year and a half ago, I found myself really finding here in New Mexico, because it's just very limited. I'm a senior executive. And then I got a job in Denver and working remotely with numbers of people around the country and using tools like Slack and Google Hangout and video. So I think it's extremely doable and enjoyable way to work.
Thank you so much for calling in today, David. Let's go now to Scott and Glorietta. Scott, what's your experience?
Hi, good morning. I live in the suburbs of Glorietta, so I'm way out there, and I've been working for myself for 40-something years, and I've been living near Glorietta for 20-something years, and the biggest issue I have is fast internet connection. There's really not very many options. I have a great local provider, but the connection is slow. And, I need to update softwares, and it's just not possible. So that's my biggest concern.
I hear that a lot of people saying they have challenges with their internet connection, especially outside of Albuquerque, really. Scott, thank you for calling and adding that in. If other folks want to talk about kind of how you overcome those challenges of technology or internet access, give us a call today, 277-5866. We have a lot of callers right now. Let's go now to Ryan in Albuquerque. Ryan, what's your take on remote work? Ryan, are you there? Let's maybe try to get Ryan. Oh,
sorry.
Yeah. Ryan, what's your take on remote work?
One of the New Mexicans that was born and raised here, and to find real opportunities, I had to travel somewhere else. I have left New Mexico on multiple occasions to go work in other places, and I always try to motivate those employers to let me work remotely and start that as an initiative. There are real advantages to employers, especially if they have good remote workers. They get to choose from the labor pool of potentially all of the world, so you can really choose the best candidates you can find. You do get the savings in not having to provide office space and all of the utilities and carrying costs that go with that. And you actually, for most, I've managed remote teams, and I've also obviously been a remote worker. I'm currently working for an out-of-state company. And the real advantage is most of your employees that are remote workers will give you the time that they use on their commutes and their daily, call it, shower, shave, and get-ready routines. And so you end up having better morale in your workforce for the people that can stand being away from the interpersonal contact. You have more flexibility with the work, and you are also potentially able to leverage those workers for on-call purposes. So if the nature of your business is such that you need people available for instance, it's often much easier because you've already established all the communications channels and means of bringing those people in to be effective without them having to travel. So there are tons of advantages to businesses. It does make it harder on management, especially if you're the classical manager. There are many what I call clock watcher managers out there, which I would argue that's a different issue. But the point being, it is harder. You have to really think of new ways to gauge the performance of your employees. But I will say this, having managed remote teams for years, the people that are going to be bad at remote work are going to be bad in the office also, almost all of the time. So even if you bring them into the office, they're often going to be distracting other people. If they're not performers, it doesn't matter what their location is, they're going to continue to not be performers. And similarly, your star performers are probably going to even be more productive in many situations. It is good to maintain that interpersonal contact. So again, as an employer, it's very important to bring your people together periodically so that they do get that face-to-face time and have a chance to get to know each other on a personal level. But with all the tools that we have today and emerging technologies, it's very easy to maintain the interpersonal communications with instant messaging, chats, Slack, IRC, all these kinds of things that are available.
Right.
So people can still do the water cooler talk if they need to. And it's just a change in culture. And once the business adopts it, you'll find that these businesses are able to improve their bottom lines and maybe even expand their markets and really build an international or even, you know, relationships because they've got all the infrastructure established.
Yeah. Ryan, thank you so much. So many important points that you brought up there as someone who manages remote workers. And if other folks are listening and you manage remote workers, what's been your experience? 277-5866 is the number to call today. Mark Lottman, you want to react to some of the things that he brought up? There was a lot there.
Yeah, really. The last several callers have been really insightful about and kind of laid out kind of what the benefits are and what some of the challenges are. And I think as the workforce becomes younger and you have the more digital natives you have in the workforce, the easier it is to manage remotely. There are some types of work, some career areas where it's really pretty hard to do remotely, but it's one of the fastest growing segments of the economy, and it's pretty hard to imagine how the economy of New Mexico, especially outside of the two or three major urban areas, actually grows enough to support the people we have without a massive effort to make this a remote working state.
Yeah. We also have Shelley Fawcett from SoloWorks Cibola. Shelley, one of the things he brought up was people who would be bad at remote work would be bad in the office. But I think there are some specific skills that people need to have to be successful in remote work. What do you teach people about or talk to people about those specific skills?
Well, one thing is that everyone there needs work regardless of whether or not they're terribly good with computers. So one of the things I do is when I bring somebody in, like, they kind of get baseline digital literacy testing and then try to figure out what gaps need to be filled there in order to help them be more successful. I just had a bunch of people who wanted to take part in the medical billing and coding program we just are getting going, who are on hold for now because we want them to be able to be successful. And there's a lot more skills as far as being able to be comfortable with a computer that they're going to need first.
When I visited SoloWorks Cibola earlier this year, I talked to some people who were very hard workers, very interested in making that transition and using skills that they learned from the food service industry or other industries and translating that into remote work. And they really saw a path for that.
Right. And, you know, especially people who have been working face to face with people their whole lives. It's interesting that a lot of them, especially with customer service, that being their entry point into remote work, because they're used to customer service, even if it's in person as opposed to over the phone or whatever else. That is what they're used to, is talking to people, managing people and so on.
Yeah. We have quite a few callers right now. You can still get in this hour. The number to call, 277-5866. Matt from Santa Fe, welcome to the conversation. What do you want to add?
Hi. Thanks for having the show. It's a great topic. I have a disability. I'm 62. I've been disabled for 35 years. And I owned my own company before. I then worked for other companies. And then it became clear I was going to be unable to work in the traditional model of that. And remote access came to me through being invited to do some classwork or coursework at UNM on policy, because as a person with a disability, the struggle to navigate the resource system that was going to be available to me to improve my life. I learned a lot about disability policy, the disability culture, disability history, and accessibility and ADA and the law. And one of the things that happened for me was when I would walk into the door or roll into the door of the business, depending on how my day was doing, I have a service dog and other what we call AT or access, you know, technology that allows me access to live my life. And it's a neon sign, you know, we really love what you have to offer. We'll think about it. Or, you know, I wear the scarlet letter of D, disability, with pride now. But there was a long time where that was a hard adjustment for me. And I think it's a hard adjustment for employers to feel confident that you're going to be able to offer as much. And it's actually, there have been a lot of studies that people with disabilities who are employed in many, many cases work harder than other people because we've had to struggle to get where we are. So it kind of takes the disability piece out of the question if someone hasn't seen me yet. Although most of my work is in policy, being able to do it remotely and learning that by going to some coursework by invitation at UNM School of Medicine, I use a lot of remote technology. I have meetings with Washington, D.C. over the phone. We do, you know, we use any kind of, you know, Cisco go-to meeting or anything. We use Doodles to set up meetings. I'm working with the Office of Minority Health, which disabilities are 25% of the population, so it's not exactly a minority, but it's very, very productive to be able to help, say, a senior, a person who lives here, transition their loved one who's a senior into assisted living in Missouri, but do it from here, because there's a lot that you can do making the right calls. And when someone's in Panicville trying to deal with an access issue or a resource issue, a lot of the common sense just flies out the window. And because I've been through it and I've helped people go through it, I can kind of bring that back into the fold and help people navigate that. And this has been able to work with legislatures, able to work with lobby groups in other parts of the country on specialized issues like addressing the opioid crisis through access to safe medicine, which is access to medical cannabis. And this is a national issue. So it's very much local and national. And then you come into seeing things like the international brain injury groups, because brain injury is a particular area of importance to me. So I find it really exciting. I find that when someone meets me, they already have see competence. And I think it's really, really important when you're working with people and all of our differences, you assume competency first.
Matt, thank you so much for your call today. Those are incredible things to share. I really appreciate hearing your perspective this morning. Let's go now to Lynn in Santa Fe, who also has some experience working from home. Lynn, what's it been like for you?
Well, I wanted to add on to our previous caller. I'm legally blind, and I worked from home for over 15 years. And that ability to not have the stress of a daily commute, using public transportation, which often is very challenging and in some areas difficult. I mean, there were times it took me 4.5 hours to commute to and from work. So not having that stress in my life and not being tethered to living where public transportation was available to me so that I could get to work. All I would need was an internet connection, and that gave me a flexibility that was very important to me.
Lynn, thank you so much. Really important point to raise today of the opportunities that remote work can open up for people across the state. Do you want to call in and share your experience with remote work? The number is 277-5866. You can also email letstalk@kunm.org. We're going to go to a break now. We'll be back in just a minute.
Thank you. Organizers for the newly formed Native American Agriculture Fund are charting their next steps. The organization has $266 million from the Keefe's Eagle settlement to boost Native ag projects. On the next Native America Calling, we'll talk with this organization and others about the significance of the fund and what it might accomplish.
Weekday mornings at 11 on KUNM.
Starting Saturday, September 22nd through Friday the 28th, KUNM needs people who can talk on the phone and type into a computer at the same time. We also need people with good handwriting and a pleasant phone voice. We provide training you can access at home, plus free parking, free CDs, food, and snacks all day. Sign up at KUNM.org, click Help Answer Phones, and find your preferred shift. Thanks.
This is Let's Talk New Mexico. I'm Sarah Gustavus, and this hour we are focusing on remote work, either with clients in New Mexico, clients outside New Mexico, in other states, or even around the world. You can still call in today. The number is 277-5866. I'd like to bring in Tana from Espanola. What's your comment or question about remote work?
Sure. Good morning. My comment and question have to do with trying to work at home from home while having small children or babies at home. It's a wonderful thing for parents to be able to change their traditional office jobs into remote jobs to be able to stay home with their kids a little bit longer. I did that for a number of years and found I was very distracted on conference calls and video meetings. And then I supervised a few people who were doing that at a later point. And my question is how to manage that, where you are understanding it's a great opportunity, but helping your people become stay more focused and have boundaries working from home when small children are involved. Whereas if it was a traditional office workplace, it would be more clear that either children are allowed here or children are not allowed here. When it's the home, I found that very challenging.
That is
so
challenging.
Any comments about that?
Yeah. Shelley Fawcett from Solo Works in Cibola County. You have a comment on that?
Yeah. So when we get somebody remote work through the program, we have what's called the nesting period, where they're actually required to work for a certain period of time within our co-working space. And that's in order to help them really get used to what their job is going to be like, what, you know, help them get accustomed and help them make the transition to remote work. And then if they want to, they can stay there. And if not, they can then make the transition home. But I think getting off on the right foot is a really big part of it. Making sure that you have those routines established. If you're sitting down, you're at your computer, you know, in an office environment like what we have at the co-working space, if you're able to just transplant that one step further, you're still in an office environment, even if you're at home. And then, you know, having you know, rules in your household regarding, you know, the times for working or when the store is shut, you don't come in. And, you know, it's got to vary from person to person. But I think that's part of the reason we have the nesting requirement through SoloWorks is that we want somebody to get off on the right foot and to already be somewhat accustomed to starting to work from home before they actually work from home.
Yeah. There's a transition for some, but there's also people out there who've been doing different kinds of remote work for years. We have someone on the line now who can speak to that. Kelsey Atherton is a defense technology journalist for C4ISRNet. Welcome, Kelsey.
Glad to be here.
You haven't worked in an office in many years. How do you connect with people during the workday and kind of feel like you've got some connections to other folks when you're by yourself?
Sure. So the best ways I found to sort of build a like office camaraderie, get that water cooler talk, but also get the important like communications and like the low level stuff, the stuff that feels like it's below the level of an email, just quick back and forth, is like bizarrely enough through Twitter. There's a lot of that. I work in journalism, so it's a lot of media people exist there anyway. And so I've been able to talk to my coworkers that way or just do like side messages through chat apps. I've been at workplaces where we used Slack for that, which was a really helpful way to both workshop stories, work directly with editors, even when we are thousands of miles away, and then also just to like catch up with what's going on, react to news, and then just have that sense of like workplace belonging, even though I would maybe set foot in an office once a year.
And how did remote work make it possible for you to come back to New Mexico?
Sure. So when I started in journalism, I was living in Washington, D.C., but I also started as a remote worker in Washington, D.C. My publication was at the time based in New York, and I was just covering the whole defense world, which is there, but there's also a lot here. And I was working remote anyway, so I already had that rapport. I had that relationship. And when D.C. rent got to be too much, I decided I would rather come home and cover what national media was sometimes missing out in the West, and also keep up with the national stories I was working on. And I could only do that thanks to a workplace that valued remote work and the tools and ease with which I can do remote work.
So you could work any time of day. How do you create work-life balance for yourself?
Sure. So I have to, the whole time I've been working remotely, I've had editors based on the East Coast. And for a while, I tried to keep to Eastern time, which was a poor fit, but we worked around that. And then I figured I can run stories that will still be topical in the morning if I file them a little later in normal Mountain Time hours, or I can cover later breaking news since I'm already out west, or just generally, and it's only a two-hour difference. It's not super hard to work around that and fit stories in. And I have editors who are like happy to check an email after they have dinner, and then they'll run my last story of the day or something like that. And it works pretty well.
All right. Well, Kelsey, glad to hear that you're able to do work in New Mexico that you enjoy, that's important to you, and stay here where you're from.
Indeed. It's wonderful.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Have a great rest of your day. Mark, any comments on that?
No, I mean, this is all sounding really affirming and familiar. I work from a home office most of the time. Periodically, we assemble in the community economics lab space that Deckerbert Sabatini provides us down at Jefferson Corridor. But most of the time, I'm working from home, and I've got people, clients, and we're talking to in Singapore, China, Vienna, and, you know, sometimes we're lucky enough to get to go there and meet with them, but most of the time we're talking to them. And you can squeeze in, if you're careful, you can squeeze in your workout time and time with friends and family. And it's actually, I'm not sure I could handle going back to an 8-to-5 grind again.
I've heard that from people who have done remote work. I'd like to bring in some other perspectives now. We have Robel Taylor on the line. Folks who know him call him Chacho. He owns Paperplane Branding and Marketing and Black Box Fitness in Albuquerque. Welcome.
Hi there.
You're a designer. You started out designing shoes in your career here in New Mexico, but you've always done work with companies and people around the country. How has working remotely with clients allowed you to stay in New Mexico and have the life that you want here?
Well, when I finished college and decided to be a designer and really go for it, I very quickly found out that there was not a lot of design work in the state of New Mexico. After about a year of begging people to design their business cards for free, I did find a job, and it happened to be in New Mexico, which was great. But I was also fortunate because the job required a lot of travel. And in that travel, I started to make connections with people from out of state. And as time went by and my career kind of grew and I grew as a name and what I was doing, those opportunities continued to come, but they weren't here. I love New Mexico. I'm an avid mountain biker. I want my kids to be here. I love that they're growing up here. I don't want to leave. And so that being said, I've found a way to continue to do what I do and support my family and actually really love and enjoy it all from here. And that's been amazing.
How do you do most of your work with remote clients? Do you visit them in person? Do you do all of that work kind of online?
It was really interesting, but I kind of gained some skills in working remote while I was art director for a few companies, and they were technology companies that worked in the network infrastructure space. And those companies sell the tools to help companies make their workforce in general be able to work remotely, right? So being partnered with Cisco Systems and some of those technology companies, they would actually push getting on things like WebEx or different tools like that. So as I would travel throughout the country and I would be meeting with people on the other side of the country, I could still go through comps, I could still go through strategies, I could still show presentations and do those things anywhere I needed to. The hallway of a hotel if I needed to, or from an airport, or, you know, the inside of a taxi. So when it came time to just kind of settle down and stay in one place and develop brands or those kind of things, I was able to kind of implement those skills, use those tools, and make it really easy on my clients, myself, and convenient at the same time. So it's kind of how that came together for me.
Yeah. We have a lot of aspiring designers and folks in creative industries in New Mexico. What's your advice for those folks who are getting starting on building a client base, either remote or local?
My advice is just don't stop. Keep doing it. Whether you're, you know, the first year of my career, I literally designed things for free as often as possible. From there, I got a job and I took it and I did my best there. And just continue to grow. Don't try to specialize, because if you're in New Mexico, you won't make money. do what you can when you can, and if you need to grow to do it, then, you know, make that happen. Just don't stop. It took me at least 10 years to start really making money as a designer, and 20 years later, things are great, and I'm glad I stuck it out, but it's definitely not the easiest path. You have to love it, and you have to be something that you really want to do.
And you did it in New Mexico. We really appreciate you calling in today, Chacho.
Okay, thank you.
We have a question that came in by email, Shelley Fawcett from SoloWorks Cibola. Ani asked, she wants to know how to find remote work for people with disabilities. We had a couple of callers who talked about working from home and having disabilities. She said so many online work listings are scams. How do people avoid scams?
Right, so that's always an issue, honestly. And that's part of what I do, is that I help people find the things that aren't scams. And I help try to make those relationships with employers that are legitimate and trustworthy. But more than that, also, you might try going, well, like right now I'm working with the DVR office out of Las Vegas, New Mexico. And we are working on What we're finding is that, obviously, as we were discussing earlier, remote work is particularly helpful for people with disabilities, if in that it can accommodate for a lot of things. But I think it's just going to be a matter of finding your strengths and playing to your strengths, and then if there's a program, say like SoloWorks, that you would find helpful to help you guide you through it, or through your local DVR office as well.
All right. Thank you for that. Let's go now to Brandon in Albuquerque. Brandon, you have a question about taxes?
Yeah. I was wondering about the economic implications for the state as far as if somebody's employed elsewhere. Does this state still collect employment taxes? And since there's less maintenance of buildings, et cetera, as far as collecting property taxes, and if that has effect on state economies.
Mark Lottman, you want to answer that?
Yeah, really, it's a really good question. So we have a gross receipts tax here in New Mexico, if you probably know. And so the tax laws are different in every state. And so if you're doing work in New Mexico and that work is produced for a client in New Mexico, you're obligated for gross receipts tax. There's some question about if you are doing work for a client outside, whether you owe gross receipts tax. And it's a nexus issue, and you should talk to your accounting professionals to figure that out. But I think from a overall tax revenue standpoint, if one of the goals of economic development is always to grow the tax revenue for your tax-dependent institutions faster than the service burden's growing. And for that to happen, you really need the economic base to grow, which is the kinds of work and economic activity and jobs that where the money is being earned from out-of-state sources. And so We've had a lot of callers here. Most of the people have called in, I've been keeping track, are economic base. There's also, we could be talking about ways to programmatically help people convert from being serving local people from their remote job and doing more, shifting some of that work to out of state, which would make them economic base. In other words, your job's just like somebody working at Intel.
Yeah.
If you're exporting. So a lot of the people called in today are legitimate economic base workers and are growing the economy. And there's another person in the service sector for every one of them.
Interesting. All right. And we haven't touched as much on kind of some of the downsides, but we have a question, I think, Bob from Albuquerque, if you can make it very quick, your question that we need to consider in talking about remote work in New Mexico.
Economics behind this of the tax base, does it really help us, or is this only helping individual people downstream? Like if it's comparing it to something like an Intel, the profits to this are going somewhere else because your corporations are saving a lot of money by farming out work, contracting it like this individually. So that's a lot of profitability, but does that come back and really help the people of the state, our economy, and our tax base here? That was my idea and our question, and I thought it would be good if there was some planned discussion around that because it is complex and not to be left to the individuals to figure out. So thanks very much.
Thank you, Bob. I know that, Mark, you talk to lawmakers, policymakers. How are you talking about making sure that lots of people benefit, not just a few?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really, really good, insightful question. With this remote work, I mean, the benefit of this kind of target for economic development is the jobs are virtually unlimited. So you're not limited to the jobs that are present, and you don't have to actually locate a facility or a factory or a company in order to create jobs for the people who live there. True, there's no facilities engaged usually. So you're missing out on the property taxes. You're missing out on some of the ad valorem taxes. You don't develop a cluster of suppliers usually. So you do miss that part of the economic value of jobs being created the traditional way. But when you look at New Mexico and look at the geography and most of the communities outside the metro areas, I don't know if there's another way to do it because most of these communities are not in the recruiting game for employers at a level that can grow their economic base fast enough to offset how many jobs, economic base jobs, are being lost to automation and business turnover and other factors.
And there's so many important pieces here with internet access for people with disabilities, training for people who need specialized training for these jobs. It's a big question, a big issue for the state.
I think it's something that we really need to focus on as a strategy. I mean, the state could become the first, remote work focused state. So far, states and local economic development groups haven't focused on it. And New Mexico is really the first one. This is the first in Shelley's program out in Grants is really the first one in the country.
Yeah.
It actually tries to create jobs.
We are going to keep our eye on this one. We got a lot of calls today, so there's definitely interest, and we'll continue the conversation on remote work. Thank you to Mark Lottman for joining us today, also Shelley Fawcett, and to everyone who called in to share their experiences with remote work in New Mexico. The conversation doesn't have to end here. Use the hashtag #LetsTalkNM on Twitter to share your thoughts about today's topic, or go to KUNM.org where you can leave your comments and share the show with people you know. We'll also post links to resources in the community. If you missed part of the show, stream it online or subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. I'm Sarah Gustavus. Our engineer is Marino Spencer. Madison Sprato screened your calls today, and Celia Rainey live tweeted the show. Elaine Baumgartel is the executive producer. This is Let's Talk New Mexico on KUNM.